Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is Maundy Thursday service, and so in this service we're celebrating two things. In particular, the great commandment that Jesus gave to his disciples when he laid aside his clothes after supper and washed the disciples' feet and commanded them to love one another. And then secondly, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper, this great testament of his love for us in his body and blood. And so tonight I'd like to talk with you about the Lord's Supper especially. And in particular, why did God give it to us? What is the great benefit of it? What's the purpose of it? Because God just doesn't give us things willy-nilly to make us do busy work or to just have something to do or something to do by duty. But he does things for us for our good, to bless us in strength. And so let's talk today about why Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper, and what is God doing in it for us? Why did the early church celebrate it diligently every time they came together? Why do we celebrate it first and third Sundays every month often? Why are we doing this? Let's see what God tells us today in his scriptures. And we'll start out by just taking a look at the testimony in scripture of this institution of the Lord's Supper. And this is in Matthew, start out here. Let's compare some of these readings. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul. Matthew here says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" So you got that one? That's Matthew? Check. Okay, let's go on to the next. Mark gives us a testimony. It says, "As they're eating, he took bread and breast and broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God.'" All right, that's check, Mark. Let's take a look here at Luke in chapter 22. "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup, after saying, 'Cup, supper,' saying, 'This cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" And then one more, Paul, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, "On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul. Do you find something remarkable about these passages? What strikes you? They're identical, right? I mean, in Scripture, a lot of times you'll hear of a similar event told from different angles with different words, all equally true, but different words. In this case, the Holy Spirit has chosen, in every case, to record the same exact words, basically. Do you find something interesting about that? I think God wants these words preserved purely and very importantly, that these precise words are used, so that we can know about what this great gift is he's given to us. Amen? And what are the benefits of it? What is the purpose? What is the plan of God in giving us these kinds of things? I'd like to bring to mind some things that God is doing in this supper for us to bless us and benefit us. I can't plunge the depths of it. It's a holy mystery, but let me give you several things. First of all, God points us in the Lord's Supper into the past, to Jesus and his cross, his body and blood. We're to look backwards in time. How do we know that? Well, look again here at Paul's reading, or Paul's writing here. He says, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in..." And then it says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in..." So what does it mean? Remember, right? We're to be looking back. We're to be remembering. So there is an element in the meal that we're about to share here, where God says, "I want you to look backwards in time to remember my cross," Jesus says, "and my son, and my body and my blood. I want you to remember me. Why is that important for us to remember in this meal and have it as a memorial? Because we forget everything, right? I was driving down the road, you know, our car that is totally toast, and then now it's, they're like putting those clamps on it and you know, pull, and bam, they're shocking it back into existence. We're gonna try to bring it back into life. Well, I thought as I was driving past Midas on Courtney, I was about 30 seconds away. I thought, oh, I think I'll drive and just see what my car looks like. And then within those 30 seconds, I forgot to turn in there. And by the time I realized that, I was way past there. You ever find that experience? I walk into a room. I'm like, what on earth am I doing here? I don't know what I got here for, right? If you guys tell me something on Sunday to remember, I say, don't expect me, write it down and put it on my desk. There's no way I'm going to remember that on Sunday morning a lot of times because I'm so frazzled. I got so many things going on. We have trouble remembering things, and God gives this to us as something to remember him by so that we don't forget it. He wants to put it ever before us that we're refreshed in our salvation in Jesus, remembering him in his body and blood. Look at what happens here, and how many times in the Bible God works on us not forgetting things. Deuteronomy chapter 4, God says, only take heed and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. Don't forget. Remember what you've seen, right? Why? Because they're going to forget. A few verses later, take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant which the Lord your God has made with you. You jump over here to Judges chapter 3, and what do we learn? And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, forgetting the Lord their God and serving the Baals and the Asherah. And so they forgot. What do we read in Psalm 103? Oh, bless the Lord of my soul and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and who heals all your diseases, right? So we're to remember these things. How about New Testament? Can you think of something? James says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer and not a doer, he's like a man who goes, looks at his face in the mirror, and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. He hears it, and he forgets, and he doesn't do it. He says, don't be forgetters, be doers, look into the law of liberty, remember it, and act on it, and you'll be blessed. Do you find yourself easily forgetting things? Can you believe it? We can even forget Jesus and his cross and his blood. And Jesus is one of the things God gives us, Jesus gives us for, is that we remember, do this in remembrance of me, of my body, of my blood, of my cross, of me. Remember me. Put me before your eyes so that you don't forget me. And it's so easy to do that. I notice if I'm ever out of the Bible for a couple days, in my private devotionals, what happens to my faith? Gets weaker and weaker very quickly. I begin to forget, even though I've memorized and I know these things a lot of times. But if it's not freshly put in there, I'm in big trouble. And so same thing even with the gospel. We need to hear the gospel again and again. By grace you've been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Isn't it refreshing just to hear that again? Y'all know that. But if you hear it again and again, it's refreshing. It's like drinking cool water, like a Gatorade again after you've been running. It puts the nutrients and the energy back into you. And so God wants us to do this to remember. It's like to remember what he's accomplished for you there on that cross. You know, in the Bible, God is constantly reminding us, like the rainbow. Remember, he says, I'm going to put this as a sign of the covenant. I'll remember you. You're going to see that, and you're going to remember that I'm going to remember you, not to flood the earth. People set up stones and pillars of stones as remembrances. Put tassels on your clothing to remember. Why do we wear a wedding ring? Well, a wedding ring. Why do we wear this? I remember this Get Smart episode where he's talking with Siegfried, the evil German guy, and they're comparing weaponry between control and chaos. And Siegfried says, and this is my suicide ring. He says, really? We don't have a suicide ring in control? Well, how does that work in chaos? Oh, this is my suicide ring because if I take it off, my wife says she will kill me. But why do we wear this? To remember the covenant, right? To remember the covenant that we not forget to be faithful. And so God gives us this wonderful blessing of the meal, which was a Passover meal, which in the Old Testament was a memorial meal where you're supposed to remember that God saved you out of Egypt and remember that every year and every year and every year until the real Passover lamb comes. Who's that? That's Jesus, the lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Passover lamb. This is the greater Passover meal where we remember not being saved out of Egypt, but being saved out of sin and death and the devil's kingdom into the kingdom of his light and forgiveness and peace. So when you come up here tonight, one thing you want to do is look backwards in time to his blood, his cross, himself, what he's done to save you. So that when you pull out your wallet, if you will, and you whip out a receipt, you can look on there and every receipt is going to tell you paid in full. And so you come out here and you're going to say, paid in full. Praise be to God. That's part of the Lord's Supper. Secondly, God wants us to not only look backwards in time, but look into the present moment with him in a fellowship with Jesus Christ and each other in a oneness in this meal. Where is that written? Because everything here really has to come from the Bible. We don't want to speak on our own. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10. Paul says here, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. That word for participation is koinonia. Say that, koinonia. It means fellowship, sharing, partnership, communion. What is it a communion with? The body and blood of Christ, along with the bread and wine. So we are communing with his body and his blood, and with each other. There's one bread, and we're all one, and we're all together. And so that's what God wants it to be, is a, not only in the past, but also in the present, I am with you. Remember that prayer in John 17? Jesus says, I don't pray for these only, but for also those who are going to believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I'm in you, that they also may be in us, that we're all one, and that the world may believe that you sent me. So what are we doing here at this meal? It's a koinonia. It's a fellowship, a communion with our Lord, his body and blood, himself, and each other. So I'm in you. You're in me. We're in Jesus. Jesus is in us. We're in the Father. The Father is in us. We're all in each other. What a special fellowship that is. What do you do when you want to get close to a girl, guys, if you were on a date? Now you're all married, so don't even think about that. But when you were courting, you take her to a meal, right? Because in a meal, there's an intimacy that happens over the fellowship of food. What, you didn't take her out?
I took her to her mom's house.
Okay. All right. If you are really intimate, you might say, let's share that Sunday, right? Now you're partaking of the same Sunday. Whoa, now things are serious, all right? Wedding bells are going to chime. So in the Lord's Supper, there is not just sitting down together, but Jesus is in us. We're in him. The Father's in us. We're in each other. It's a wonderful fellowship divine that God has prepared for us. And it's also a very powerful meal. Listen again what Paul says in 1 Corinthians Chapter 10 of the Lord's Supper. He says, our fathers were all baptized into Moses in a cloud and in the sea, right? They had their baptism out of Egypt. They all ate the same supernatural food, and they drank from the same supernatural drink, for they drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Old Testament days, remember that? Manna from above and water from the rock. What does Paul say that kind of meal was? Spiritual, supernatural food and drink. The word in the Greek is pneumatikos, pneuma, spirit. So this is a spiritual meal. This is a supernatural meal. This is not an earthly, ordinary meal. That was being spoken of the manna and the water from the rock, which were shadows of the greater reality of the body and blood of the Lord. If that was supernatural and spiritual in the Old Testament, what do you think this is? Super supernatural and super spiritual meal for your strength in the faith. God knows you need strength. They needed it through the wilderness to get through it. We need it through the wilderness of this world until we get to the promised land of Canaan, heaven. Just like, you know, if you're going to go traveling across the sea, you don't want to die of scurvy. You want to bring your lemons. You're going to travel across out into the west. You want to bring eat your pine tea that had vitamin C in it. If you don't, you die. This is given to us, friends, in order to be a supernatural, spiritual, powerful strengthening of your faith that you'll not grow weary, but you'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. You'll conquer through this life. So let's not neglect it. It is a looking into the past memorial. It's also a present fellowship and communion with our Savior and with each other. And also, God wants us to be looking forward in this meal, into the future. He points us into the future with this meal, doesn't he? To direct our gaze into the kingdom. Where do we learn that? Where do we read this? Remember, after in Matthew 26, the institution of the Lord's Supper, then Jesus says, you know, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Then he says, I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of vine until the day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So I want to ask you a question. Is this rightly called the Last Supper? Ultimately not. It's just the last one for a little while, right? Because Jesus says, I'm going to be drinking this again with you, just the last one for a while, but in the kingdom, I'm going to drink it with you again and very specially. So it's not really the Last Supper. What should we call it? Let's call it a foretaste of the feast to come, right? It is a foretaste of the greater blessing of the meal that we're going to celebrate in the kingdom. Just like the manna from above and the water from the rock, those were foretastes of the greater meal that was waiting for them in the land flowing with milk and honey, right? Heaven's feast, this is a feast beyond any feast in the world, even though it's but a wafer and wine. It is the body and blood of the Lord. How much more in heaven has God prepared for you? Remember the apostles, James and John, said, let us sit with you at your table, right? Jesus says, it's to those to whom it's given, but you'll sit with me. So we're going to sit with Jesus at his table. A feast, right? How about many will come from east and west and sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, while the sons of the kingdom will be cast out, right? That's unbelieving Jews in that case. But we'll sit at table. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him and he with me. There's an eating together type of thing. And God has that prepared for us. Listen to this. Isaiah 25, God prophesied, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And he'll destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples. He'll swallow up death forever. God will wipe away tears from all faces, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And it will be said, this is our God. We've waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for him. Let's be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Can you picture that meal? God has prepared for you. It's beyond your wildest expectations. Fat and wine on the lees and super abundant blessings. I love Psalm 16. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And he fulfills the desires of his saints. Do you know that you're going to get filled beyond blessing of filling and the pleasures of the kingdom to come? And this has been given to us as a foretaste of that feast to come when Jesus says, I'm going to drink it with you new in my kingdom in that day. So in this Lord's Supper then, you know, to our own senses, apart from faith, it seems just like bread, wine, wafer, little wine. But to the Word of God, which was accurately given, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul, this is powerful. This is spiritual. This is joy. This is the blessing of the Lord that we look back that God saved us. We look to the present that he's with us and we're with each other. And we look to the future that we will feast with him in his kingdom as a foretaste of the feast to come. In Jesus' name, amen.